Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning. Good morning to all sports fans. Good morning to all the NFL fans. Welcome. This is the season that we've been waiting for. Right after the Super Bowl, we've all been longing for some more football, some NFL football being played. And yes, it's just the preseason, but in my case, football is football. So I'm definitely excited for this upcoming 2016 season, especially for all the gentlemen that have actually participated in the NFL regional. In the NFL Regional Combines this year. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining me this day. Thanks a lot one more time for listening in for this. It's going to be a great season. Really looking forward to what these guys from the NFL Regional Combine, and for those of the first time listening, that I normally cover mainly just the players that went through the Regional Combine. I follow their success through their workouts, through the off season, and then all the way into the playing season. And this season so far, it just started, but the week one of the preseason, for me, it wasn't so much about wins and losses. I just wanted to see the performance of these guys. This year, we had 115 players from the regional combine that's in the NFL right now as we speak. Yes, we know there's some cuts that's coming up. But for the majority, the players that did play this week, not all of them did play, but a good portion did. And for each one that actually saw action this past week, actually did, you know, pretty well. And I'm just going to highlight pretty much all the work that they had did, all the great performances they did, some of the outputs and some of the plays that stood out to me as I monitored, you know, every last game that was played, which is not hard, which is really fun to do because I want to see these young men progress into great players, great individuals, which I know they will definitely actually venture to. Again, my name is Barry Barnes. I'm your host here at Locker Talk. If you want to be able to shoot me a message or to follow me, you can always follow me on Twitter at my personal handle, which is 2B Sports, or the company's handle at Locker_Report, or you shoot me a message on Facebook at LockerReport.com, or you can just really send me a message through my email, which is barrybarnes@locker-report.com. Okay, let's get on the way here. Let's get ready to start talking about some football and see what these guys from the regional combine did. Last Sunday at the Hall of Fame game, the game was canceled due to unsafe field conditions. So the Packers and the Colts were not able to play last Sunday, which somewhat probably give those guys a little bit more don't have to worry about having their bodies being banged on too much because they would be the only they would have been the only two teams that played five preseason games. So for those guys to actually be able to just play four, they pretty much gonna be even par with the rest of the teams in the league. Although I know sometimes the extra games, some of the coaching staff or some of the position coaches probably like to see a little bit more tape before they make their decisions on who to release. So it has its advantages of not having a fifth game, and it also has its disadvantages of not having a fifth game. So we had to wait for a player like Joe Callahan, who's a quarterback, rookie quarterback from Wesley, that ventured through the regional combine through Baltimore through the 2016 workouts. Now, for the 2016 workouts, there were 788 players that actually attended the sessions. And out of that 788 players, 40 players were able to make an NFL roster this year. And that's without having a super regional combine, which was something that was absent this year, where other players probably would have had an opportunity if they had one more live look for NFL scouts that did not make a roster this year or was not invited into a camp. But that's in the past now. You know, I'm quite for sure there'll be some other way for these, you know, kids to actually get to the NFL. I know they continue to work hard. Some guys had ventured to the CFL that's playing up there now. Many of them staying in shape so they can always be ready for that phone call when the team do decide to give a certain player an opportunity. But an opportunity was seized through this young Packers quarterback with Callahan as he actually went out and had himself a stellar performance in his first outing. He actually started for the Packers because Aaron Rodgers did not play in that game. So Joe was able to really get out there and showcase his skills. He completed 16 out of 23 attempts for 124 yards, and plus he carried the ball twice for 5 yards. But his biggest highlight pretty much came in the second quarter with 11 seconds left in the first half, 11 seconds left, and he was able to hit running back Joe Crockett in the flat for a 2-yard touchdown pass. This was Callahan's first NFL touchdown pass he thrown. He did not throw no interception in that game. He really controlled the tempo. He really commanded the huddle. His head coach, Mike McCarthy, was really impressed with the way how he orchestrated the 2-minute drive, how he was able to get the team down the field to score like that. And the game was kind of a seesaw, kind of a crazy game with field goals and safeties. And at that time, the Browns were up before Callahan was able to lead the team down the field to win that game, and then to ultimately not only just score that touchdown, but to put the team in position to win that game. So that was a great performance out of Callahan. I actually tweeted out he was someone to watch out for this week. You will be able to see and read everything that I'm about to talk about on the show a little bit more. If you go to locker-report.com, you can see the article from week one of the preseason, and you'll be able to see Callahan and all the guys who I'm about to mention in this show about their progress for us in week one. Now, Joe wasn't the only one that actually had a real good, successful outing in week one of the preseason. I also have to, look into the offensive line. Watching closely with Mr. David Fassard, who's a left tackle for the Carolina Panthers. Now, Fassard actually came through the regional combine in 2014, and the Panthers actually picked him up. He was actually David is a Canadian, and he actually was drafted high in the CFL in 2014, but he decided he wanted to take his skills to the NFL to see what he was able to do. And the Panthers was really impressed with him when he came into camp. And so instead of the Panthers letting him go or not bringing him on to the 53-man roster, they put him on the practice squad. Last year, he did make the active roster for the season. Didn't play as much. He did see some action early in the mid part of the season last year. But other than that, he really didn't see too much action on the field. So this year, I'm expecting to see a lot more of him as the Panthers try to make that offensive line a little stronger. While with Fassard, he came in against the Baltimore Ravens last year when they came to M&T Bank Stadium. He actually entered the game with 9 minutes and 19 seconds left in the second quarter. So he played for a good portion for the entire game from that standpoint. He moved well. He was able to block to the second level. He actually had a good pancaking of Arthur Brown for the Ravens linebacker in the fourth quarter with 14 minutes and 14 seconds left, where he actually was able to get to the second level, took Brown off his feet and slammed him into the ground, which showed the aggressiveness that he had. During that time, the Panthers were really trying to find something in that running game, which kind of slacked off as the Ravens start to dominate those guys on the ground. But when the Panthers got the ball back, there were some shots they had that they actually took on the field, where it was down the field, and also with the running game. And Fassard did a great job in his pass protection. He did give up about a sack and a half. That one on came really viciously in the second half as one of the Ravens linemen actually dipped him to the outside and went past him. And the number 91 actually dipped outside, went inside to be able to get Joe Webb, the quarterback, there. So he did give up that sack, but for the majority part of the game, he played very well. I think that the Panthers have something there. The Panthers had already seen something in him. I really believe that after his performance, and just although it was just week one, and for the way how he was able to protect, I would not be surprised if he actually be on the Panthers opening day 53-man roster. So he definitely had a good showing there. Denzel Good for the Indianapolis Colts played very well. And Alexander Villanueva for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's a very aggressive left tackle, who was once a converted linebacker / to a tight end and converted to an offensive lineman, who played pretty much 11 games last season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. you know, and protect Ben Roethlisberger, you know, during that duration, and rarely got Ben Roethlisberger sacked in those contests because Winner Areva is really strong. He's very fast. He's very mobile. If I wouldn't be surprised if they try to attempt to get him to score a touchdown this year because he do have good hands. The Steelers tried to do that last year during the mid part of the season as they tried to, I believe they were trying to do a fake field goal, and they tried to get him out on the out in the lane where he would catch the ball in the flat, but the pass was just overthrown by a little bit. So they did attempt the pass to him last year, but I do see these guys trying to implement something for him this year to try to take, you know, some team off guard. I hope I didn't mess up the Steelers' plan, but it is something to watch out for because he is a major talent that's really, really got himself, got his wheels turning last year with the great performance that he had. Once again, you listen to Locker Talk. You know, this is what I consider inside the NFL, not talking about the normal stuff that you normally see on the news or hear on the radios or through other ESPN or NFL Network, but you're hearing everything regarding to the NFL Regional Combine players because there's a bunch of names that you're not familiar with. Get familiar. Okay, now we're going to start, you know, talking about the pass catchers. You know, Reggie Bell, who's a wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints. He actually came on with the Washington Redskins last year after going through the regional combine. And the Redskins didn't keep him, but the Saints picked him up, and he was able to maintain the spot on that practice squad all last year. But this year, going to this preseason, he really showed what he was able to do. He only caught two passes during week one when they had to face the New England Patriots, but one of his passes went for a four-yard touchdown strike from Luke McCown when he was underneath the Patriots zone coverage in the fourth quarter with 13 minutes and 43 seconds left. So he was able to catch a pass underneath two defenders. One was a defensive back, Jonathan Jones from the Patriots, and also a fellow regional combine brother and linebacker, Keanu Gunther Hill. He was able to catch the pass between both those players for his first NFL touchdown. Reggie Bell kind of reminded me of a Seth Roberts, who also went through the regional combine that plays for the Oakland Raiders. And Seth Roberts in itself last year was pretty much the darling of the regional combine last year because he exploded with five touchdowns and two of the games for the Oakland Raiders last year were game winners that came from him. So I'm looking forward to seeing Roberts doing better this year. Now I'm pretty much going to be considered a veteran receiver going into his third year. In the NFL, I believe that team is going to key into him, but he will definitely be a threat for any opposing team in the NFL they face as he still retains to being that third option that Derek Carr for the Raiders is going to look at. So Robert's going to have a lot of mismatches this year. I really believe that he's going to pick up from where he left off at last season. He did have an appearance during the preseason, and he only had one catch for 9 yards. But I'm expecting more great things from Seth Roberts as Oakland look like that's the team that's going to challenge for the AFC West for the next coming years and to have a regional combine guy that's going to be in the midst of that turnaround for the Oakland Raiders. That's something to be excited about for the Raider Nation and also for the platform, as we know, with the NFL regional combine. Now, moving forward to some other pass catchers, you know, Adam Thielen, who I'm a big fan of, who's a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm a huge fan of his. And he had one catch, a leaping catch, believe it or not, against the Cincinnati Bengals when there was 8 minutes and 19 seconds left in the first half as he went deep, high over the middle, you know, for a pass and actually jumped over Durin Smith, who was a safety, for acrobatic catch for 22 yards. I know Adam, I talked to him once before. He, during the offseason, he really, really consistently always working on his pass-catching abilities, always want to make sure that he run the proper routes. He know that he have, you know, guys there like Stephon Diggs is there, knowing that having another young quarterback there with Teddy Bridgewater that's going to look at him, another young wide receiver with Treadwell and another tight end there with Kyle Rudolph that he has to find a way to be in that mix with a star-studded cast that's on the rise. And he know that he has to figure out a way to become more of a reliable receiver that could be that third receiver and also be really good on third down situations, which is his strength. He's been a sensation for us with special teams. Now he want to be able to show what he can do, helping out the offensive unit get to the next level so they can be able to consistently challenge for the division, knowing that the Packers still pretty much the king of the NFC North. And so that's where he want to help get his Vikings to that particular point in this game. And in that same game, he had another regional combine player who was a tight end that played for the Cincinnati Bengals, who also I'm a big fan of, and his name is Matt Lingle. Matt was actually on the practice squad for the Bengals all last season. The 6'7 product from Eastern Kentucky, actually going to have an opportunity this year to try to make this squad, knowing they had lost some pass catchers, knowing that if he make the 53-man roster, seeing that the Bengals may use a two tight end set there with Alfred there as another, who is actually one of the premier tight ends in the league, that if he can join him out there in the field, Cincinnati could continue to be a threat to not only win a division, but hopefully win just a playoff game to get to the level. So even talking about a Super Bowl with the Bengals, but if they just can find a way with him and Tyler Alford, can be a good duo for a tight end package for the Bengals. The Bengals could actually take that next step to at least win a playoff game, and then we could talk about a chance to go to the Super Bowl, because that team does have the talent there to actually compete for an NFL title. And I believe that Matt could be one of those players that can actually help them get to that next level. For the Miami Dolphins, Alexander Cruz, he had 2 receptions for 9 yards. I already had mentioned about Mr. Roberts. Another tight end to watch out for in Arizona, they call him Mo. They call him, his last name is Momif, and he's an Arizona Cardinal. He got injured last year as he tore his meniscus injury that sidelined him for the entire season. But he was able to get on the field in week 1, and he had 3 receptions for 33 yards. So it was good to see him out there healthy. And I know that if he stays healthy throughout this preseason, he will definitely make that 53-man roster. They have a lot of hopes for that young man there. For the Packers, when you look for Trevor Davis, who actually was one of their draft picks, he had 2 catches for 23 yards. And each one of those receptions that he had converted first downs. One was a 16-yard conversion, and one was a 6-yard conversion. He was able to make those catches to keep those drives alive for the Green Bay Packers and for the team to ultimately win that game over the Browns. Newly acquired tight end Brandon Williams for the Seattle Seahawks. He made his debut, and he was able to catch a pass for 6 yards. And rookie Mike Brown for the Los Angeles Rams, who was drafted in the 5th round, actually the highest selected player this year for the regional combine, he had a reception for 3 yards in his first outing. And Sampson, who played for the Carolina Panthers, who's a tight end, played against Baltimore, but he was not targeted. The Panthers pretty much just used him just for blocking detail. And just to let you know that you're listening to Barry Barnes, host and founder of Locker-Report.com. You're on listen to Locker Talk right now. Just wanted to reiterate that and who I am, just for the listeners out there who's listening for the first time. Now, as far as the running backs this year, from the regional combine, there were no running backs from the 2016 sessions that's in the NFL. But they do have some veteran running backs in the league. Mr. Jonathan Grimes for the Houston Texans, and Dominic Williams, who's with the Jets. Dominic has been floating around the league, mainly being on the practice squad with the Vikings, but the Jets picked him up. He's a very fast and physical runner that I know that the Jets could use to help keep that team more of a balanced, ball-control-type team. Jonathan Grimes had 1 carry. Williams had 3 carries for 17 yards. And Julian, and also for the teammate for the for Williams, Mr. Julian, Hazard, he was actually a fullback who was converted from the defense, who was converted from a defensive back. He actually had a reception for 9 yards. For the Seattle Seahawks, the newly converted, a lot of players from the regional combine, and it's not nothing new, but you have a lot of players that will convert from one position to another to stay in the league. And Jordan Farmer had converted from a wide receiver to a defensive back. Now the Seattle Seahawks is using him as a running back, and he actually had 7 carries for 15 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs this past week. Now we're going to move over to that, to the defense side of the ball, where the defensive backs pretty much are the main prime position players that teams snatch away from the NFL regional combine. And if you look into Atlanta, one of the I would say pioneers, so to speak, of the regional combine is Kamal Ishmael, who's a defensive back, who's been with Atlanta Falcons now for the past couple of years. He had 5 tackles against the Washington Redskins, converted wide receiver to defensive back. C.J. Goodwin, who was with the Steelers last year, and his on the practice squad as a wide receiver. Now he's a defensive back for the Atlanta Falcons. He had 3 tackles in his debut. And Roberson, he had 1 tackle in that game. Denzel Rice for the Philadelphia Eagles and Chris Banjo both recorded 2 tackles last week. And Justin Carey of the New York Giants and Jordan Dangerfield for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they both had 1 tackle. Now, if anyone was frustrated on the defense side of the ball last week, I have to give it to my man Gerald Rivers, who battled with some injuries last year trying to make it in, you know, trying to make a team, an active roster in the NFL. This young man definitely have a lot of talent. He have a lot of speed, a lot of burst. And this year he's with the Houston Texans trying to make that squad. Really can play really good off the edges, can know how to get to the quarterback, does a decent job in stopping the run. And if it wasn't for 49ers rookie tackle Norman Price from holding him on a couple of occasions, Rivers would have had at least 2 sacks in that game. Gerald Rivers was really getting around the edges, quickly trying to get to that quarterback, you know, whoever, you know, trying to get in that backfield of the 49ers. And every time he would try to get close, or he was just pretty much just a fingertip away of grabbing a quarterback, getting a quarterback, he was held. So that was one of the games I had monitored and had watched and showed that. And I know that his coaching staff was really pleased with his performance. But he did, you know, leave the game with just 1 tackle and his aggressive showing. And he had Stanford Charles, who was with the Buffalo Bills the last 2 years, who is now a part of the Detroit Lions. He was able to snack up 2 tackles along as Drupo, and Bartu, who was actually with the Falcons last year, now is a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he actually was released by the Atlanta Falcons in mid part of last season, but the Jaguars picked him up, put him in the lineup, and he's starting off this preseason with the Jaguars, and he garnered 2 tackles in the preseason debut. And also Steelers rookie tackle Johnny Mackey Jr., he debuted with 2 stuffs, 2 tackles in that particular game. He's a big 6'8", close to 300-pound defensive tackle from Mars Hill. That's very fast, very physical, very powerful. I'm quite for sure that young man would definitely make this roster. And then when you look at the New England Patriots, they always find the diamonds in the rough. Rufus Johnson, another guy who they had on their roster for since last year, have a lot of hopes for him, but he battled injuries last year. Rufus Johnson is going to be needed this year. I can see him actually being a major, major asset for Belichick in this defense, as he got away with 2 tackles. Woodrow Milton had 3 tackles. He's from Mississippi, another player that battled through injuries coming out of college, but he's healthy now. I can see him being a major, major asset for the Patriots. And a young man who I mentioned earlier with Gunther Hill, who actually got scored on against Reggie Bell, he had 3 tackles in his debut. He actually was one of the 5 regional combine players, the highest number ever through the platform has had drafted in 1 draft of 5. He was one of the players that got drafted this year, and he walked away with 3 tackles in his debut. So he had a solid outing himself. So that's pretty much the whole wrap-up of what the players from the regional combine did last week. Going into next week, the same thing. We're going to talk about how they perform, go a little bit more in depth and detail with some other players, depending on what they do in the field, of course. And then we're going to talk about something else next week that's going to be, that's something to monitor with the official, when it comes down in terms of the officiating. For week two only of the preseason, the only time they're going to do it this year, NFL operations going to, will have an eight-man officiating crew on the field, This will not be the first time that the NFL would experiment on having eight officials, I like to call them caretakers, on the field. As in 2010 and 2011, they experimented with eight officiating man crew on the field. What they had to do and what they had to line up, they actually had to line up 25 yards down the field to examine the complex and aggressive styles of the team's passing attacks. That was during the time when the officials had to find a good way to actually monitor these passes, because there was so much that they probably had missed, and they wanted to monitor that, the way how teams were being more aggressive down the field. And so they had to use those 2 years only in the preseason, not the regular season, just to monitor to see how they were going to handle it. And in 2004, they actually had another additional official in the backfield of the offensive line, where the umpire and the referee had to monitor the interior play in the trenches, but that eighth official had to monitor everything on the offensive line. So that was their assignment in 2014. This year, they're going to have what they call the middle judge. The middle judge is really going to pretty much play almost like center field, so to speak. This year, going into the regular season, the umpire will not be in the will not be behind the linebackers. They will actually be on the offense side of the ball, about 10 to 12 yards away on the left-hand side, opposite of the official, to monitor what goes on the offensive line. Now, with the middle judge, he's going to pretty much monitor from 18 to 20 yards downfield on the opposite side of the back judge, monitoring just the guard and the center. So that's going to be his duties on that. Next week I'll go into full detail about what they're supposed to do. As a matter of fact, let me just get into it now, because I already know what they're going to do. They're going to recognize passing plays, and one of the things they're going to have to do on passing plays, the middle judge is going to have to backpedal to the depth of the back judge to monitor the interior play, to monitor the holding and the defensive stunt. With the umpire not being in the middle of the field, one of the expectations are to see how players are going to behave in the middle part of the field. Would there be any bumps? Would there be any clips? Would there be holding? Would there be checks? You know, they one of the things that the officials are watching out for, or have to watch out for this year, is those plays, because they really believe that teams may, or in my opinion, may game plan to do certain things like that in the middle of the field, knowing there's no official there. So they're going to pretty much need all the judges, the back judge, the side judge, you know, and the head linesman to monitor that. So that's one of the things they're going to do this year to monitor, because the umpire will be on the offense side of the ball. But the middle judge for the preseason, only in week two, he's going to be the one to monitor that. And then he's going to make sure that he monitor all the passing coverages as well. The first thing that Dean Blandino said in the clinic, that if you recognize pass, get out of harm's way, safety first. So that's pretty much what the middle judge is going to do for this game. I'll go into more detail and talk about their performance next week as well. But thanks for listening to Locker Talk. I hope that you guys had learned some new stuff about the NFL and learned some new stuff about some new players. Again, my name is Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of LockerReport.com. You can reach me on my personal handle at 2bSports or on Twitter at Locker_Report, or you can simply shoot me an email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. I really enjoyed this time. I look forward to talking to you guys next week to enlighten y'all with new stuff regarding the NFL and its regional combine players. Everyone stay blessed. Talk to you soon. Goodbye.